Whitney Houston. We'll be talking about her later in the hour and playing her music all during the course of the next 2 hours. She tragically passed away, 48 years old, much too young. Probably the greatest pop star, I think, as a woman in the history of this country. And we lost her, so we'll talk about that later, but we'll be hearing her music all through the show. We're going to talk in this first part of our show here on the Mark Steiner Show about this bill that's in the county council in Baltimore County, Bill 312, which doesn't say anything. Human Relations Bill doesn't say anything. It's a bill about transgender rights and a very broad bill. And we'll talk about that. The man who introduced that bill to the county council, Councilman Tom Quirk, in his first term on the county council,
okay. I was wondering what happened.
He's with us. You there, Tom? Okay, Tom must have... Something must have happened. Maybe they pulled his bill. I don't think so. But he'll be back in a minute, Councilman Tom Quirk. And in the studio with us is Dana Beyer, who is Executive Director of Gender Rights Maryland.
Kathy?
Excuse me, you're on the air, Tom.
Hello?
You're on the air. Just want to let you know. And Kathy Brennan is with us, who is a former board member of the GLCCB's Political Action Committee that helped pass the Anti-Discrimination Act in 2001. She's a lesbian, a feminist, and a lawyer who wrote an email to us this afternoon. And I asked her to read the email, but then I called back and said, why don't you just join us on the air? And Kathy, welcome. Good to have you with us. Do we have our guests lined up on the phone here? Can we get the phones rolling here? What's going on? Okay. So now we will get them all back here in a minute. Tom, are you on the air?
So whoever it is, call her. Do you have her number?
Okay.
Let's call back and just say I'm waiting online, but it's not working because I heard him say Councilman Tom Quirk.
Okay, could you just pot him down for a minute? Then we can get him back on the other way he's supposed to be. So we'll start with you, Dana. How's that?
Here I am.
So, I mean, this bill obviously came on the heels of what happened with to Chrissy Paulus when she was beaten up, and we did a series of shows about that when that happened. There's been a lot of controversy over this bill. At first, I thought the controversy was just from kind of a very homophobic right-wing side, but it's not. There's a controversial bill all the way around. But talk a bit about it from your perspective, then we'll bring Tom and Kathy back in.
Well, I don't think it's really as controversial as it seems to be. Small groups of people can make a lot of noise. Particularly Kathy's group is extremely small. I don't think it's really much more than Kathy. But this has not only followed on the heels of the Chrissy Paulus beating, this is following up on the passage of similar legislation in Baltimore City. In 2002, Mayor O'Malley at the time passed it unanimously. We in Montgomery County passed it unanimously in 2007. Howard County passed it, with the exception of one Republican vote in December of this past year. So this is simply the next step.
When you passed it, what is the it?
The it is adding transgender people via the phrase gender identity or expression to the county's civil rights legislation, providing protections on employment, housing, public accommodations, maybe finance, credit. It varies from county to county specifically.
And the phrase you use was identity or expression, right? Sexual identity or sexual expression.
No. Well, gender identity or expression. To clarify, the courts do not distinguish between sex and gender.
Gotcha.
Academically, there are distinctions. Sex is biological, gender is everything else, but the courts do not make that distinction.
So we now have, I think, that our phones are straight. Councilman Tom Quirk from the 1st District who introduced this bill is here. Tom, you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome. Good to have you with us. Glad we got that straightened out. Kathy Brennan, former board member of GLCCB's Political Action Committee that all passed the Anti-Discrimination Act in 2001. She's a lesbian, a feminist, and a lawyer. Wrote us this afternoon, and that's why she's on the air with us now. Kathy, welcome to the show. Good to have you with
us. Thanks. Good to be here.
And so, Tom, talk about the bill and why you introduced it and what you think you introduced, and then we'll hear what Kathy's thoughts and open the phones.
Yeah, I mean, this bill's bottom line an anti-discrimination bill, and it's just simply the right thing to do. I know the county council's been working at looking at this bill, talking about different amendments. We look forward to the work group tomorrow. The reason why we decided to introduce this legislation is because it's needed. I mean, it's something that I think everybody should be treated equally and with respect and should be judged on their qualifications, what they bring to the table, how well they can do their job, but not who they are fundamentally. So.
And Kathy Brennan, when I got your email today, And it caused a stir in our office. We started talking about it, about your objections to the bill. And as a lesbian, as an activist, what part of the bill do you oppose?
First, let me say right off the bat that folks who oppose this bill on the grounds that I'm going to discuss also think discrimination is wrong and don't think transgender people should face any kind of irrational discrimination. However, we don't want that public policy to come at the expense of females, who, of course, are the biggest victims of sex-based discrimination. So the way that the law currently defines gender identity is gender identity or expression means, and this is the definition, a gender-related identity or appearance of an individual regardless of their sex at birth. You have a circular definition that relies on the notion of sex stereotypes in order to flesh it out. And Dana is absolutely right. Courts do look at sex and gender the same. And in fact, the Supreme Court has found sex stereotyping actionable under federal law that bans sex discrimination. So there have been cases brought by transgender individuals under those existing laws, which we support. And we think it's absolutely great because we don't think that folks should be discriminated against based on their appearance. However, we don't want to codify those stereotypes in the law. The idea that there are characteristics that go along with your biological sex is anti-feminist and it's offensive. And many gays and lesbians, and Dana can pretend all she likes that it's just me, but there is a larger conversation that's happening within the gay and lesbian community that I think advocates for this legislation are really going to have to deal with at some point, because they can keep saying what they're saying and get nowhere, or they can try to get somewhere. I think they'll find it hard, and I think it's unlikely that gay and lesbian activists are going to continue to want to work with them if they're that unaware of the language in the bill and the implications for women.
So, Dana, one of the things, let me just say that some of the original people who oppose this bill, who think that homosexuality is a condition that can be cured, mm-hmm. decided not to come on today. We did ask them to join us. They didn't want to come into this discussion. So this is from a different perspective opposing the bill. So how do you respond to Kathy before we return to Tom Quirk?
Well, Kathy's a friend, and this is not personal. But Kathy's has an extreme argument, which is very similar to that of the right wing, which is that trans women really aren't women. To Kathy, the most important aspect of being female is being impregnatable, being able to be penetrated and to then get pregnant and give birth. She talks about protecting females. She doesn't include us in that category. And that's offensive.
So, of anything I have ever said.
No, Kathy, you've actually done that.
Let me finish what you were saying, Dana, and then and Kathy.
The problem is, and it comes from both sides, the right wing sees trans women simply as men, as sexual predators. They don't understand the science of gender identity. The left wing, the radical feminist separatists, the lesbians that Kathy relates to, don't see us as women either. And as a result, she talks about protecting females and is willing to trample on the rights of trans women, send them into the men's bathroom, which puts their lives at risk in order to hypothetically protect other females.
As I said, Kathy, it really has to be one at a time or else we can't hear on the radio when folks talk over one another. But go ahead, Kathy.
That's completely false. We have advocated a definition of gender identity that protects actual transgender people. All of the people I know, and I know lots of transgender people because I'm in the gay community and a lot of my, you know, friends have decided to transition, they need medical assistance to do that. We have proposed a definition that requires some evidence that they're on a path towards medical transition to prevent any random person from claiming this protection. But the bigger objection, and Dana, this what you have just said is a complete mischaracterization of my position, sex stereotyping theory is available to everyone. It's not just, you know, women who are not trans or trans, it's everyone. So you have the case out of the 10th Circuit with Vandy Beth Glenn where she sued the Georgia State under a sex stereotyping theory. She's a transsexual woman and she won. That's amazing.
No, I know it's amazing and it's the landmark decision. By the way, it's the 11th Circuit, not the 10th Circuit.
What advocates
Wait a minute. Before
you can, or you can try to get something done productively. It's really up to you.
Mark, an important point is 16.
Well, you both are kind of talking over the other one, and that cannot happen on radio because nobody can hear what you're saying.
Right.
16 states and 150 jurisdictions have protections with this language. That's 45% of the United States population. So it's specious for Kathy to say there are problems with this. They don't want random people making claims. Nobody has ever claimed that any random person is going to claim to be trans.
So let me ask Tom to come back in. Tom, so my guess is when you expect some opposition to this bill, but not this. So what are your thoughts?
Well, I think a lot of the attention of the opposition comes down to this is a bill about bathrooms, and this bill's really about anti-discrimination. This bill's about anti-discrimination with housing. It's about anti-discrimination with employment, with education, with public accommodations, and about financing. So to me, this is about anti-discrimination. As far as the definition of transgender, I know the county council is looking at the definition and looking to strengthen and tighten it. But we're working on amendments, and until after the work week, we want to hear from everybody. And then the county council is going to be looking at, hey, how can we make this the best bill possible with some amendments that will ultimately be all about making sure that transgender people are not discriminated against, period. Because to me, the biggest issue is it right to treat people unequally? Is it right to discriminate? I've talked to some of the opponents of this bill, and when we have really candid, heart-to-heart conversations, they agree with me that discrimination is wrong and that this legislation is definitely needed because it's about treating everybody equally. And that's the much, much bigger picture that I think sometimes gets thrown away with this whole bathroom issue that I think opponents like to use to try to inflame people and make people feel like this is something that it isn't.
And so I would come back and ask Kathy what would be a bill from her perspective that would work, and then hear the response. Let's go back to the phones first. 410-319-8888. And Lolita, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Lolita. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I work in Baltimore City Detention Center. I work at the ACSAP program, the addiction program. And one day we had a transgender gentleman or woman in the program. It was told to me that this woman was put out of the female side of the prison because they discovered that she was a man. Now, the problem that I had with her being integrated in there with men who were on the down low or heterosexual men were that there are some men in there who were sexual predators, and there are some men that were, they were showing that they had sexual interest in her. If it was up to me, I would have left her on the female side where she would have not had to deal with any of that kind of unwanted attention.
So,
and that's all I wanted to say.
Lolita, thanks so much.
Well, there's a group of us working with the Secretary of Corrections to deal with this very issue because it can be problematic. We want to protect trans people who are in the system. And the best way to do that is to put them in the facility that fits their gender identity or expression, but also protects them. She makes a very good point. Those women are at risk from male sexual predators.
So, Kathy, and then go to Tom. I mean, so when Dana uses the term gender identity, gender expression, mm-hmm. it seems to me in some ways that is the crux of the problem that people have who do have a problem with the bill. And in defining what that means.
Right. The problem that feminists of all stripes, lesbian, separatist or not, have with the language that Dana is pushing is that it relies on stereotypical notions of biological sex and how a female should be or how a male should be. We don't like that because it's females as a class of humans who suffer disproportionately because of those stereotypes. Males are also stereotyped, but the stereotypes about males are overwhelmingly positive. This is why we have sexism. So we oppose the language as it stands now, notwithstanding the fact that it's been pushed in other states, because I live in Baltimore County, and I don't want this in my county because I think it's wrong. And, you know, the fact that some right-wing nut jobs agree with me is a coincidence, but the basis for the agreement is the basis for the conclusion is completely different. And if all Dana and advocates have are reliance on, you know, tropes about, oh, well, if you oppose this, you're a right-winger, they're not going to be successful because our issue is different than the bathroom issue, and we've proposed language that would narrow the class of people who could take advantage of this legislation to the people that we want to protect. I want to protect actual transgender people, and I think that it's defensible to have a medical definition since you have to have medical intervention in order to transition.
I hear what you're saying. I have some questions about that, but Dana and Tom, I'd like you to respond, then we'll go back to the phones.
Well, first of all, Kathy doesn't represent the feminist community per se or the gay or lesbian community in general. Secondly, this is really not the same issue, Kathy. You want to medicalize gender identity. It is a medical condition for people who go all the way through transition. But if you do that, what you do is you create a separate class of people who cannot afford or do not have access to medical care. Now, you may not think that that's an important issue, but it is for those who are least able to care for themselves. I've been blessed. I've been fortunate. I've had all the medical care I need. My documents are all in line. I have no fears. You're right. The 11th Circuit decision was a blockbuster, and it knocks down discrimination on the basis of sex stereotypes. So, that's exactly what this legislation does.
So, Tom, tell me as we go back to the phone here, tell me where the bill is now in the county council and where you think it's going.
Yeah, the bill actually has four co-sponsors of seven, and it looks like we have additional support that's signing on. And the work group is tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We have a lot of supporters that are going to come out. And I've had many supporters from, you know, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, people that really truly understand this bill, because there's been a lot of propaganda, misinformation, saying we're trying to allow pedophiles to come in. We actually had one woman literally say that pedophiles and rapists and sexual deviants are waiting on the border of Baltimore County so they can come in and rape our women and children in bathrooms, which I think is absolutely absurd and irresponsible. Now, saying that, I think philosophically, where this breaks down is choosing to be gay, lesbian, transgender. You know, is it a biological thing or is it a decision? And I truly believe it's biological. Matter of fact, since I've introduced the bill, one thing I have been completely struck by is when I'm talking to parents that have transgender kids, the one thing almost universally that they tell me is at the age of 4 or 5 years old that their kids are telling them, Mommy, Daddy, God made a mistake. I'm, you know, a boy, but I'm really a girl inside, or vice versa. And that's something that, to me, is something that those kids should not be discriminated against. Those kids or the transgender people or gay and lesbian people, we need to treat them equally. This is about discrimination. Discrimination is wrong, and the majority of people in Baltimore County agree with that.
Let me open the phones here again. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Julie in Elkridge, you're on the air.
Hi there. How is everybody?
Well, welcome.
Good. I had a question for the whole panel here. I'm a lesbian, and last year when we were fighting for this is a question largely also on the Baltimore County side of things, but statewide in particular. But last year when we were fighting for the marriage equality bill, we also had a gender identity bill come up right after that. We failed with the marriage equality bill and the gender identity bill. But what I noticed, which was pretty frustrating as a member of the GLBT community, was that when we had the bill for all of the marriage hearings, there were a lot of trans people there to support marriage equality. However, just a week or two later, when they were hearing the gender identity and expression bill, it was mostly transgender people there and just a handful of people from the gay community. I just sort of wanted to see if there's any kind of a game plan this year for how the transgender community can utilize folks like myself who are there to support all of the gender identity bills to pull other people from the gay community to get this legislation passed in Baltimore County and in the state.
And you know, Mark, I'll address it if I could.
Tom Quirk, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I have been very impressed by gay, lesbian, and straight people all wanting to make sure that not only are they pulled up, but they're also pulling up the transgender community. And so what I've found and what I've witnessed from the majority of people is that there's a strong willingness of people to really work together. And I'm talking to people also in the religious community and people in all walks of life that are supporting this bill. I do think we have a minority group of people out there that are opposed to it, but I think mostly opposed to it because they don't understand what the bill's all about. They get these emails of nonsense and hate and fear, and then they think it's a bill that's about everything, but it's not. This is an anti-discrimination bill. It's about treating people equally, and it's about having a county. Like, what type of county do we want to live in? I want to live in an accepting county. I will live in a county that we welcome everyone, all walks of life, and we treat them equally, and we don't discriminate. That's the county that I want to live in.
Let me go back to the phones. We'll come back to our panel. 410-319-8888, and Leo in Baltimore, you're on the air. Hi, Leo, you there? Got him up, Leo?
Yes. Good evening, Mark and guests. How are you?
Well, welcome.
I'm just a little confused here. I understand what hermaphrodites are, and that surgically you have to make changes in the case of one who's born with more than one genitalia. But when we deal with the transgender syndrome, as I call it, there, it appears to me to be some level of experimentation going on at Johns Hopkins and other places. How many categories of transgender are there? Someone said to me there's 7 or 8 or 9, depending on, it's not all surgical, it's psychological. And is there, can we ever again talk about a positive gender identity? Does God make mistakes? I generally tend to think not. I don't think God makes any mistakes. And so while I understand the argument, I think intellectually I understand the argument favoring transgender, I hear from Martin O'Malley and his wife and others in the legislature that same-sex marriage and this whole gender issue is something that we have to accept. I don't have to accept it.
Okay.
I was raised to believe differently.
Well, let me get back to the panel. So I guess I want to go around the room on this. And Dana, why don't you start?
Well, there are really many points to discuss here, but I wanted to get back to one thing. Religious communities that understand the traditions understand that there's nothing in the religious traditions of Judaism or Christianity or Islam that are opposed to trans people. As a matter of fact, the only quotes from the Bibles are very positive on behalf of trans people, speaking of eunuchs, which is the way trans people were considered back 2,500, 3,000 years ago. So when religious communities come out against trans people, they're doing so simply on the tail of their anti-homosexual position. And as far as homosexuality goes, there's really only one sentence in the Torah that deals with that anyway. So a lot of this is really a gross exaggeration. Sir, you mentioned hermaphrodites. That term isn't used anymore medically. The term is intersex, and transsexual people are a form of intersex people where certain sexual characteristics do not line up. You're not 100% male or 100% female. You may have male genitals and a female brain, female genitals and a male brain, and then you work to bring that into alignment. You've mentioned Johns Hopkins, which started doing genital reassignment surgery back in 1966, stopped in 1975 when it was privatized. There are thousands of such procedures done privately now all across the country and across the world.
Kathy, you were trying to say something.
Yeah, I would certainly not, speak to whether or not God makes mistakes, but I wanted to get back to something that was said earlier because I think this is an important point for people to realize. Medical rights are important for trans people because some of them want to transition. Those folks would be protected under the definition that I and others have put forth in Baltimore County and at the state level. Those who did not want to transition could take advantage of the law as it currently exists that bans sex discrimination. In fact, I was one of the people who testified or who organized testimony and who got people to try to support House Bill 235 last year, which Dana could certainly attest to because we spent many hours talking on the phone about it. I asked Glendora Hughes, who is the head of the state agency who enforces the anti-discrimination legislation, and she says that, in fact, her agency has occasionally taken complaints raised by transgender people on a variety of basis, including sex discrimination. So I think it's fine and well and good for Dana's organization to seek to legislate tolerance. I totally get that. But I don't think that it's fair or reasonable to do it on the backs of females and to expect lesbians who are the L in the LGBT community to stand up and say, yeah, this is great. This is great for us, because it's not great for us.
Well, but most lesbians, Kathy, feel that way. I haven't heard from females who feel put upon at all as far as this goes. And you mentioned Glendora. Kathy, please. You mentioned Glendora Hughes, who is a full and passionate supporter for our legislation on the state level and in Baltimore County. She believes in comprehensive gender identity legislation.
I would ask you or Mark to ask her the questions
Tom, let me come back to you. I mean, I think that clearly where it breaks down is around the definition we've been talking about with gender identity and gender expression. Mm-hmm. And probably the expression part is what gets to most people.
Right. Well, I mean, one thing I did want to follow up on the gentleman's question, you know, if somebody personally or, because of religion or morals, they don't, have to agree or accept this, they can do their own personal beliefs in their own homes. What we're saying is, hey, just don't discriminate against others. To me, this is a live and let live type of measure, which I think a lot of people support. You know, one of the things the opposition, like truly when you get at their core and say, well, what is your real issue with this whole subject? And they're like, well, we don't want, our kids to be indoctrinated. And I just think that's nonsense, because it's not like some kid's going to say, oh, I'm straight, now I'm gay, or now I'm lesbian, or now I'm transgender. This is something biological. People are born this way. And one thing I want to point out, Mark, that I think is really important. Since Baltimore City passed similar legislation in 2003, since Montgomery County passed similar legislation in 2007, since Howard County just passed it in 2011, has there been any incidents or any problems because of this legislation? And the answer is a resoundingly no, although some opponents did say outright distortions and lies, saying people are getting raped because of this bill in Montgomery County. That's been categorically refuted by Montgomery County Police. Matter of fact, so much so that the county executive of Montgomery County wrote a letter to Baltimore County talking about the positive experience they've had since the legislation has been passed. Same with Howard County, Baltimore City, no problems, no issues. The only reason why there's any issues from the opponents right now is based mostly on fear and not fact, or not anything about what the bill's about.
So we have to take a break here, and we'll come back to see where this bill goes, and we'll have this discussion. We've had discussions on transgender issues and transgender people many times in the show over the last 19 years, mm-hmm. and we'll continue to have them because I think it's an important discussion to have. And I want to thank Councilman Tom Quirk for coming on the air with us, District 1, Baltimore County, down in Catesville. Good to have you on the air with us, Tom. Hope you don't make yourself a stranger on the show. We'd like to have you back.
Thank you very much, Mark. I really enjoyed it, and I appreciate all the input and all the thoughts and comments from the citizens. And I look forward to passing a good bill and sending a loud message that Baltimore County is a welcoming county, and we do not discriminate. We're accepting and welcoming to everybody. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Tom. And I want to thank Kathy Brennan for joining us. Appreciate the last minute agreeing to join us here on the show after the email she sent to me, and I appreciate her being part of this conversation. Dana Beyer, Executive Director of Gender Rights Maryland. Good to have you in the studio.
My pleasure.
And
thanks, Mark.
We will come back to all of this very soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
And stay with us, folks. We're going to take a very brief break and come back for to continue our discussion. We're going to take a look at the mayor's state of the city address. We're talking about Whitney Houston. We'll talk about what cities need, what our guests think cities need. And the interesting thing about this panel coming up is this panel is made up of artist activists who have a very different view than the usual political analysis that we hear every day ad nauseum. So stay with us.